we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs, and you are listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast, brought to you by Merritt Assembly of God and the saints there and our friends who listen throughout the county. So we want to thank you for tuning in today on this Thursday morning. We want to give a shout out to Bill Andriak at Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284. I'll tell you just a little bit. Bill is a part of our prayer team, and this last Sunday at church, the prayer team meets before our Sunday morning service, and they gather up in our conference room and touch heaven, and I believe that that's a very important element. We're trying to intensify our prayer focus, prayer ministry at Merritt Assembly of God, and Bill's a part of that. And he comes down after the prayer service, and he said, "Pastor, I think there might be a problem with the air conditioner up there." And I was like, "Really? I haven't noticed a problem with the air conditioner." And he's like, "Well, oh, okay." And later that day, I was up there, and it's like, "You know what? I think there might be a problem with the air conditioner." And he noticed an issue that I didn't even know was in existence there. And so if you need any help with your air conditioning solutions right now, you can call Bill at 759-3284. You know, ordinarily I don't like intense heat during the holidays, and you know, some of the weather was pretty warm from Christmas to New Year's, and we are so quick to complain at times. And I was reflecting upon the warm nature that we were experiencing, and then all of a sudden I had a flashback to the two winters that I spent in Chicago back in the early 80s, and one of those winters I experienced a wind chill factor of 85 below zero, and the day that I was thinking on this, it was about 82 degrees outside, and I said, "God, I still remember how miserable 85 below was, and 82 degrees above zero is a lot better than 85 below and so if you're tempted to complain a little bit about you know, whether it's too hot or too cold, just enjoy the season that it is. But if you need some help with your mechanical issues, you can reach Bill, 759-3284. I do want to mention to you that on the last Sunday in January, I believe that will be January the 24th, we are going to have Armin Morales of the formerly of the Imperials, and he was a background singer to Elvis. You can actually see some of his video, his cameo appearances on some of the old Elvis programs that they might show from time to time on around his birthday and the time that he died. But Armin Morales has a remarkable testimony, he and his wife both, about how God touched them and healed them both of cancer, one supernaturally and one through natural means. But if you need healing in your body, we want to encourage you to put on your calendar to be at Merritt Assembly of God, January the 24th, 10:30 in the morning. And, we are going to, be praying that God touches and heals people in a powerful way. So put that on your calendar. I know it's a couple of weeks away yet, but, make plans now to be there if you need healing in your body. We believe that Jesus is our Savior. We believe that Jesus is our healer, that he is our baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and we believe that he is our coming King. And so come and be a part of that service. You don't even have to wait until the 24th. I'll be preaching this coming Sunday, and I will also be preaching the following Sunday as well. So come and be a part of that. I want to take you back to Deuteronomy chapter 1 this morning. I know we were there yesterday, but let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse number 6. It says, "The Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, 'You have dwelt long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey and go to the mountains of the Amorites, to all the neighboring places in the plain, in the mountains and in the lowland, in the south and on the seacoast, to the land of the Canaanites, and to Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them and their descendants after them.'" And in yesterday's broadcast, we talked about that the people had heard from God, and he said, it's time to move in a new direction. It's time to move away from just going around and around in circles. It is time, and there's a very interesting expression there in verse number 7. It says, "Turn and take your journey." Turn and take your journey. Repentance is an absolute essential in the life of every human being. And not only do we have to repent of our sin and stop running away from God and start running to God, we have to stop running to fulfill our carnal desires, and we have to start running to do the things that please and are acceptable in God's sight. But even in our daily practical lives, there are things that we have to turn away from doing that we have always done in order to achieve something that we have never achieved before. And so I would just like to ask you today to reflect upon some of the areas in your life that you've experienced for quite a while, and you want to ask God, "God, what do I need to turn? What do I need to change in my life to gain victory over this area in my life?" Over the Christmas and New Year's break, I had a change in my telephone and internet provider, and had some people coming to my house. And I mean, as if there wasn't already enough things going on, you know, with the Christmas tree and all of that stuff. And I had service people coming in, which involved moving furniture. And I got to the place and I said, "You know what? I am sick and tired of the clutter. I'm sick and tired of the clutter." And I wasn't complaining to anybody. There was just a switch that went off inside of me and said, "We are going to make a turn in this area of our life, and we are going to put everything in order. God is not the author of chaos. He wants everything decent and in order." And so I was really, my goal was to achieve a large scale decluttering during that time. But the every time I had free time to work on that and daylight, because I was moving stuff out to the driveway and then putting it in order and then putting it back in the way that it should be. And every time that I got to set out to do that, I'd get into the project a little bit, and then it would start to drizzle and to rain and be overcast, and then it would get dark and the mosquitoes would come out and all that. But I want you to know, I'm a man on a mission in that area of my life. I'm going to take dominion over the things that just, they just clutter up. You know, the scripture talks about, the weight and the sin which so easily besets us. It's not always a sin issue. Sometimes it is just the things that are cumbersome in our life that end up derailing us from the goal that we need to have. And so I want to ask you, are there things that you need to turn from? There may be just a change of mindset that needs to take place. And instead of embracing it, we have to turn away from that so that we can pursue a new direction and a new objective. If your goal is to lose weight, I'll just say this. I believe that one of the most essential things that needs to take place, and I'm talking as a person who has a little bit of a struggle in this area, not a massive struggle, but a little bit of a struggle in this area of my life, is that if your mind doesn't change towards the meal that you set before you, then you're not going to be successful losing weight. There has to be a change of mind. We need a renewing of the mind that says, you know what? I don't eat to satisfy my palate. I eat to maintain the temple of the Holy Spirit, to be a good steward of the temple of the Holy Spirit that God has given to me. And you know, sometimes we just need a change of mindset in that. When I go on a soup and juice fast, the first little bit of time that I'm dealing with that is a little bit of a struggle, and I finally have discovered the way that I can get into that without it being just a total drudgery, and that is, you know what, I'm going to take this one meal here, and I'm going to make the transition in this meal. And I've talked about before, you know, that if you set and you realize that every time there's food set before you, that you've got to wage that battle and recognize what the things are that try to derail you from your project. What areas of your life do you need to turn from? It could be your finances. There may be some things in your life that you need to turn from in order to get the financial freedom in your life that God wants you to have. And I encourage you to do that. You know, we live in such a microwave society that we want everything right now. We want everything right now. And sometimes if you will delay that just a little bit, it ends up being better for you in the long run. What I wouldn't give to go back and undo some of the financial mistakes I made 10, 20, and 30 years ago. What I wouldn't do to you know, say, you know, I really didn't need that purchase the way that I thought I needed that purchase. And today, I just encourage you, turn away from the world's financial philosophy and turn to God's financial philosophy. Now, I am so thankful that God has developed in me and my family and my church a heart of giving. We really do love honoring the Lord with our finances. Our church loves to honor the Lord with our finances. We had a missionary with us this last week, and he called me first thing Monday morning, and we had between 50 and 60 people at church on Sunday morning, and he's like, "Brother, I just wanted to call and thank you so much for your generosity." And it's like, you know, I just, you know, we're very thankful for what God has equipped and given our church a passion for, and that is empowering our missionaries to get to the field with the tools that are necessary so that people can know Jesus Christ as Lord. And I was telling our congregation, when we get to heaven, we want to make it our goal that we get to worship around the throne with people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. That's what God's word says is going to happen. And so several years ago, I heard a man that, a pastor, and their church currently, or the last report I had was that their church was giving over $1 million a year to missions. And when he had first come to the church, It was had a large seating capacity, but they weren't doing much to fill it, and they were in desperate need of a roof, which was going to cost $1 million to replace. And so he went there, and now they give over $1 million a year to missions. And I just really am thankful for that. They have they now give $1 million a year to missions, and he said that he was coming to the end of the fiscal year, and he was looking at their finances, and there was a huge gap in their finances, and he was realizing that he faced the very stark reality that he was going to have to announce to his congregation that they had a budget shortfall that year of several hundred thousand dollars. And instead of giving way to fear or panic, he decided that he was just going to continue in faith. They have a television program, and what happened was somebody who goes to another church of a completely different denomination saw their program, saw their heart for missions on the television program, and they wrote them a check, unbeknownst to them, about the financial shortfall that they had going on in their life, in their church at that time. What happened was the people that went to the other church, they ended up writing him a check for $500,000. They said, this was what they testified. Our church doesn't give anything to missions, but we understand how important it is. And so would it be okay with you if we just partnered with you with your missions endeavors to reach the world with the good news of Jesus Christ? And so we just recognize the pleasure it is to give. So I whatever it might be, you know, we've talked about finances. It may be relationships. You may need to turn to a different source to find your relationships than the bars and the clubs that you have been trying to find Mr. Right or Mrs. Wrong in there, or however that was that came out. You know what would be the best thing? Turn your heart to Jesus, fix your eyes on him, and allow him to bring people into your life that he wants to have into your life. It will bring you a lot more peace and joy and fulfillment. God is able to do for you more than what you can do for yourself. So whether it's finances or relationships, there may be some habits that you need to get rid of in order to be healthy. There may be some changes in your lifestyle that you need to make. And I tell you, people can promise you all this. If you do this exercise and do this over here and this procedure and all that, then you'll achieve your goal. Until there is a turning and a new determination in your mind and in your spirit, you and I will never accomplish it. You will never be a master at anything until you adjust your mindset to achieve the goals that you want to. I'll ask God to renew your mind so that you go at it with a godly determination. There's a scripture that talks about that they turn steadfastly. They set their face like a flint. They were determined to go to Jerusalem. Jesus was determined. He was steadfast in going to Jerusalem. It didn't matter what the opposition was. He was going to Jerusalem. And because of the determination that he had in his life, there was some opposition that arose. You know what? If you set it as a goal to get out of debt, Dave Ramsey will tell you, you're almost always going to find some people that are telling you how dumb that is and all of that. But once you achieve that freedom, they're not going to be telling you how dumb you are to have all that freedom in your life. So Moses had a direction. He said, look, you've been around here long enough. Now you need to make a turn, and you need to take your journey. You need to take your journey. Realize that the mountain you've been encircling was not the end that God had for you. There's a journey that he has for you, and that is a journey to fulfill the promises that he made to those generations before you. He has said, Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I believe that that means that the gates of hell are not going to prevail in Brevard County, that God is going to build his kingdom here. That it didn't say that I will, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, except for in Brevard County, Florida, and there's not anything I can do about it. He didn't say that. I believe that God wants to build his kingdom here. Let's, you and I, take a journey of faith. Get into the Word of God in 2015. Get into your prayer closet. Get into a Bible study. Get into a prayer group at your church. Begin to serve and find your place in the body of Christ, and allow God to take you on this journey of faith that will be more exciting and more fulfilling than anything you have ever been on before in your life. It goes on and it says in verse number 8, it says, "See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them and their descendants after them." So first of all, there was a word from God that says, we're moving on from the same struggles you've had for all these years now. You need to make a turn, and we're going to go on a journey. Do you remember how Abraham came to the promised land in the first place? He was on a journey with his father. His father got to a certain destination, and he said, "You know what? This is where I'm going to stay." And God called Abraham, and he said, "Look, this is not the ultimate destination. You've got to continue on. Go to the place that I'm going to show you." And he didn't know where the place was. He just knew that he was on a journey with God, and God brought him to a land. He came as a visitor, and he ended up being the recipient of the promised land. And so I want to encourage you, the journey is part of the joy. Let the journey be part of your joy. We get so much into control. You know, there are people that are called control freaks, and I don't want to, in fact, at church, I am not a micromanager. I am not. I like to have people around me who know what need to be done, and they go out and they do it. But whenever I take a road trip, I'm looking at the destination. I'm still trying to get to that place where I enjoy the journey of a road trip as much as I do just getting to the destination. But late in 2014, my wife said, you know, she had seen a commercial on television about couples traveling around the country in a recreational vehicle, and we're not in the place that we could do that at this stage in our life. But she said, you know, one of these days I could see myself doing that with you. And you know what? That's a journey that I could enjoy, where we are just husband and wife traveling down the road, enjoying one another's company, and enjoying the adventure and the journey to whatever destination we have set before us at the time. And you know, really, that's what it's like with Jesus. Jesus wants us, listen, if all you are doing is slaving away in the kingdom, don't miss out on the joy factor, the joy of his presence. You have the King of Kings leading your procession. You have the great privilege and joy of communing and having fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So don't miss out on the joy of your company. It's very important. You and I, we need to have, in verse number 8, it talks about a vision. You need to see what God has before you. You need to behold it. You need to know that there is something beyond that obstacle, beyond that anchor that has been weighing you down. There is a destination that is out there. And then he says, "See, I have set the land before you. Now you've got to go in. You've got to go in. Sooner or later, you've got to hit the gas pedal." When I was just a teenager, My dad was traveling on a business trip, and we ended up staying at a Hilton hotel in Houston. I can still remember, it was called the Shamrock Hilton. I don't know what it's called now. And they had a 14-foot diving board, one of those platform diving boards like you see on the Olympics. And I said, you know what? I've never seen a diving board that tall before, and I'm going to go up there and I'm going to jump off of that thing. And I got up there and I looked down, and 14 feet looked so very far that I turned right back around and I crawled right down the ladder, and I went off the 1-foot diving board or the 3-foot diving board. I didn't go off of that tall one. And that's one of those things. I tend to remember my failures from early in my life more than my successes. But now, if I had that opportunity to go again, I wouldn't even hesitate. I'd just start running towards the end once I had clearance, and I'd say, woohoo, let's go have some fun. Go in. God, when there are going to be some things that you're going to have to really apply yourself. But if we never take that first step, if we never begin the journey, we will never achieve possession of the victory that God has for us. Not one of the issues that you face in your life is able to stand before God when you and I will just apply the faith that God has given to us. And so I encourage you, now let me just deal with a problem. We want to see 30 years worth of problems solved in 30 seconds. That's just the way that we are. We want to take decades of doing things wrong, and we want to do one thing right and think that that's going to solve all of the problems. I want you to know that's not the way that it's going to happen. You've got to be willing to take that first step and allow God to give you the victory, and then take the second step, and He will give you the victory there. But I encourage you, whatever you do, don't settle for just going around the mountain. Just don't settle for drudgery when God has called you to victory. Father, I just want to thank You, and I praise You today. I pray, God, that every person that is listening to this, God, You have called them to be a soul winner. God, You said, He who wins souls is wise. And I pray, God, that every person here would help the kingdom of God to grow in Brevard County. I pray that You would give us joy, that You would give us a new direction, that You would give us a new mindset. Lord, that You would give us spiritual breakthroughs in every area of our life so we can bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."